G'day, Alicia. How are you?
Hi, Annie. I'm well. How are you?
Good. And I've often had acquaintanceship with you because you're a publicist who roars for a film, and but you've got a particular personal project going on that's going to enrich the Australian cinema landscape coming out of Nova. Tell my listeners all about it.
Yes, you're very right. This is a personal passion project for me. I have Italian roots, but I also have a great passion for Italian cinema, and I really just want to see some. So I thought I want to get these really good films that we otherwise might not get here, even though we're so lucky in Australia with how many films we get from Italy and from all around the world. But I feel like there are some gems that we do miss out on, and I don't want to miss out on them. And I really like going to the cinema in
And
winter.
you've got this thing called Espresso Cinema, and it's tailored to the winter months, isn't it?
Yes, so Espresso Cinema, we're screening a different film each month. They all have a bit of a wintry theme or appeal, but they're also very heartwarming, or all have a bit of something, some energy to give to sort of light up our winter. And Espresso Cinema has always been about just giving those little sort of pick-me-ups of Italian cinema through the year.
Well, it's interesting because when you watch films that are specifically made for a particular audience, the Italian audience, it's a domestic audience. It's not always the same view that you see the world from in a, blockbuster designed for international audiences. That's the truth of the matter, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the film screening on Sunday, The Story of Frank and Nina, is a comedy, but it's not what you think of in as a broad Italian comedy made for an Italian audience specifically. It's very intelligent, it's very worldly, it's very funny, and has influences, you can see, from French cinema and culture from all over the place. It's all about the power of words and about education. So it's, yeah.
Well, it's an award winner from the Venice Film Festival, so it's up to the minute, isn't it?
It's very up to the minute. In fact, the actress won a major award for it last week, and the film received an entirely different nomination for Best Comedy this week. So it's very fresh.
Well, it's also very interesting for an Australian audience, really, to take on board the type of comedy from a non-American, a non-English speaking cultural background, isn't it? Because there are differences.
There are huge differences, not in this film, but often in Italian cinema, there's a lot more physical comedy than we have here, which I do personally really like. Whereas this film this week is more intellectual comedy. But yes, comedy.
And I was just going to say, the one that you've got on July the 20th, which is Trifole, as in truffles, that actually goes to something very deep into Italian culture on a whole lot of levels, because it brings back a person who has been a grandchild from who's been growing up and working in England, London, and going back to look after the grandfather who's an aficionado in something that is quintessentially Italian, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I felt like I personally, and so many Australians, would be able to identify with that reconnecting with your roots and what it means to have that connection to land and people and place. And this film has such a deep sense of place, the forest, the earthiness of the truffles, and that tiny little area around Alba in Piemonte, in Italy, that so world famous, and truffles sort of is such a luxury item, but really this gets to the real heart of just what they really are, and family and simple pleasures and connection with the earth, which is something really special, and just the most spectacular landscape, and such a fun film to watch in our own truffle season in winter.
Well, it's interesting to me because I was having a conversation with someone about Italians in general, that being incredibly well educated but having very great deal of difficulty finding employment in their own country, and often they end up in London. And is that something that runs through this film?
Not it does the film doesn't focus on that. She returns to having gone to London and sort of seemingly failed in her own eyes, and she really finds strength in reconnecting with her grandfather, and she goes truffle hunting on his behalf.
And ah, that's really interesting.
Quite an empowering journey in the forest there looking for truffles, which I think is often quite a masculine area. But for her, this eye-opening kind of empowering journey into the forest. Her grandfather's played by a 90-year-old actor who often used to work with Visconti, who is from the region, so that adds just more sort of authenticity and connection to place in the most lovely way.
Well, the other thing that I was wondering about too, just from my reading, something I was reading incidentally recently, wondering if for people who are of Italian descent who came to Australia after the war and if just the very sense of place that is regional in this film might actually reawakening understandings of times before the ristorante, becoming a country called Italy as opposed to the regional alliances?
Yeah, I think so. I think this film is also about, and it's the same story everywhere regionally around the world of lifestyles that are disappearing with time. And this one that's very much still alive with this lovely old man, and the woman comes back and she's forgotten the language and she's forgotten so many things, and she sort of engages in this world that itself is rapidly disappearing. So there is also the message of sustainability and a changing world and things that we are losing if we're not careful.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And of course, the last film in the sequence, which is August the 31st, The Sleeper, The Lost Caravaggio. Is this a documentary or is it a feature?
It's a documentary that is very much a thriller. It is fascinating, this story, that 3 years ago a painting popped up that suddenly was thought to be a lost work by Caravaggio, who is adored worldwide and only has 70 works in total, roundabout. So it's this huge...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he died at 30 or 33 or something, like in a brawl. Yeah.
So it becomes this, what happened, where did this painting come from, and what happens when something like this is found? Who gets to, really make the call, and what happens to it in the marketplace, and the collision of those two worlds of art and business,
commerce,
and industry, and even government ultimately is so compelling. But I had to have this one.
Oh, well, it's also interesting, of course, because Italy is a land of treasures, isn't it, that are perceived to be owned internationally, but in actual fact, they have a traditional home. That's true, isn't it?
It's absolutely true. And there's a bit of a war over that in this film. And it gets right down to, who really owns the art and who gets to see it. And yes, it's the quintessential Italian culture and cultural heritage, but it's also cultural heritage of humanity, really. So it's absolutely fascinating.
Tell me, I know that you said that this is a love project, the Espresso Cinema, and the three screenings that are going to be at Nova on the dates July 20, August 30. Oh, and there's one very soon, actually, June the 29th. I missed out. June the 29th.
Yes. Sunday.
Yeah, and July the 20th and August the 31st, and they're all at 7 p.m, so you can put them in your calendar. But how did you source them? Tell my listeners a little bit about the machinations that make it possible for you to have decided that you're going to do this. I mean, it's supported by, it's supported by the Italian Business Women's Network, and it's sponsored by Campari. So obviously there's a push within the Australian context in Melbourne to bring people up to date with Italian modern cinema.
Absolutely. So for me, I was lucky enough I had a grant from Screen Victoria back in 2018 and went and worked at the Venice Film Festival that year.
Ooh, how lucky for you.
Yeah, so privileged, so lucky, and such a career highlight. I still can't believe that actually happened. And really got to see in depth the festival, which is the most wonderful festival, but also it's an Italian festival, so they really get to showcase their own cinema, as well as being, you know, front-runner Oscar-worthy films.
And a delightful place.
And a delightful place. So, yeah, I really sort of thought that there were these films there. And in the last iteration of Espresso Cinema, which was actually pre-COVID and stopped for COVID, I took some films from there as well. And that was sort of a good starting point for me here, because I'd seen Story of Frank and Nina that was around. And I thought, okay, if I can see some films that are really good enough to, you know, go to the effort to do this, then I'll do it. So I sort of did a lot of research and, you know, had a look at what was around at festivals, but what critics like, what had won awards, but also what general cinema goers seem to have really enjoyed and loved. And the Story of Frank and Nina was absolutely one of those. Sunday night, that screening is sponsored by Campari, so it's a very Milanese theme on Sunday. And Campari sponsor the Venice Film Festival, and they have a sort of a natural marriage with Italian cinema. They also sponsor MIF now, so I think that sort of connection is translating really nicely to Australian audiences who understand it and who appreciate it. We're such a film literate city and nation, I think, which we're very lucky to be.
Yeah, okay. So, but in a sense, you can't just say, oh, I want to play this film. You actually have to negotiate the rights to play it.
You absolutely do have to negotiate the rights to play it. And that's been an interesting journey, because that's not something I'm, an area of the industry I normally work in. But, it's been really enjoyable to get out there. And I haven't been going through the normal channels of going to the festivals and having those relationships existing. So, yeah, it's been really an enjoyable new challenge for me as well.
All right. So, in actual fact, that original seeding grant from Film Victoria has actually ensured that Melbourne cinema goers, at least, are profiting from your increased professional skill.
Absolutely. That definitely gave me the confidence to give something like this a go, which I'm really grateful for. It was a grant supporting women in the industry, which is just fantastic. And Cinema Nova as well, just, you know, to be open to this kind of thing, of course, we're very lucky.
Thanks very much for talking to us this morning, Alicia.
Thanks for having me, Annie.